And if I ever heard God speak, God said, son, tonight, I want you to tell the people that God is a killer. Is a killer. Is a killer. Is a killer. Is a killer.
I like the scribble.
I thought, I've read that in the Bible. Where is it? God said,
I can no longer sit back and allow. Communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
I like the scribbles. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Yes, welcome to I Like the Scribbles here on CITR 101.9 FM. Bet you thought I wasn't going to come on tonight. Well, I fooled you. Starting 2 hours late, just like I did last week. Oh yeah, 822-2487 if you have something to say to me. Thank you.
I've been liar, I've been bold, I've been stealing all my company gold. Now I'm sorry, and I'm getting old. Stop the pain now, let the truth unfold. Truth gives strength to the broken mind. Like a cane, it can lead the blind. You can watch me. Some wisdom, take some truth, drive the high road to the fountain of youth. Be humble, set yourself a goal. You'll be feeding your full of soul. Add some reading.
Was the Dragons with Food for My Soul here on CITR 101.9 FM. Dragons are available on Ninja Tune, it looks like. Anyways, recently I found out that my job is moving to India in about 6 months, so unfortunately I'm not going with it, but yeah, I guess, well, you know, a lot of outsourcing going on these days. A lot of, you know, companies doing things for save a few bucks if they do it even in a different country, different continent. So, I mean, probably happens to a lot of people these days. So I was going to play something with a bit of an Indian theme. So let's see. I've got Beat Conductor. This album, Madlib produced about maybe 6 months ago. Anyways, going to play a few tracks off it, starting with, let's see, Indian Hump, and then I got some Blockhead to play, and I'm probably going to just take off pretty early here. Anyways, yes, Beat Conductor in India.
बीबी मुझे बहुत डांटती है।
लोगों की ये इमारतें तुम लोगों के खून पसीने से खड़ी हुई हैं। दो दिन तुम में से कोई बीमार पड़ जाए तो मजदूरी नहीं मिलती, क्यों? रात रात भर तुमसे काम करवाते और खुद वहां पर नाचते।
ये क्या हो रहा है?
आपको हम मजदूरों का हाल पूछने का वक्त मिल गया।
कहना क्या चाहते हो?
यही कि थोड़ा सा वक्त निकाल कर कभी हम लोगों के घरों में भी झांक लिया कीजिए।
क्या है वहां पे?
दुख और गरीबी का वो मंजर जिसे देखकर पत्थर भी पिघल सकता है।
We'll be right back. your son. You ask my reaction to long hair or beards on young people. Some great men have worn long hair and beards. George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. If to you long hair or a beard is a symbol of independence, if you believe in your heart that the principles of this country, our heritage, is worthy of this display of pride that all men shall remain free, that free men at all times will not inflict their personal limitations of achievement on others, to demand your own rights as well as the rights of others and be willing to fight for this right, you have my blessing. You ask that I not judge you merely as a teenager, to judge you on your own personal habits, abilities, and goals. This is a fair request, and I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager. If you will constantly remind yourself that some of my generation judges people by their race, their belief, or the color of their skin, and that this is no more right than saying all teenagers are drunken dope addicts or glue sniffers. If you will judge every human being on his own individual potential, I will do the same. You ask me if God is dead. This is a question each individual must answer within himself. Could a warm summer day with all its brightness, all its sound, all its exhilarating breathiness just happen? God is love. Remember that God is a guide and not a stormtrooper. Realize that many of the past and present generation, because of a well-intentioned but unjustifiable misconception, have attempted to legislate morality. This created part of the basis for your generation's need to rebel against our society. With this knowledge, perhaps your children will never ask, is God dead? I sometimes think much of mankind is attempting to work him to death. You ask my opinion of draft card burners. I would answer this way. All past wars have been dirty, unfair, immoral, bloody, and second-guessed. However, history has shown most of them necessary. If you doubt that our free enterprise system in the United States is worth protecting, if you doubt the principles upon which this country was founded, that we remain free, to choose our religion, our individual endeavors, our method of government, if you doubt that each free individual in this great country should reap rewards commensurate only with his own efforts, then it's doubtful you belong here. If you doubt that people to govern us should be selected by their desire to allow us to strive for any goal we feel capable of attaining, then it's doubtful you should participate in their selection. If you are not grateful to a country that gave your father the opportunity to work for his family, to give you the things you've had, and you do not feel pride enough to fight for your right to continue in this manner, then I assume the blame for your failure to recognize the true value of our birthright. Now, I would remind you that your mother will love you no matter what you do, because she is a woman. I love you too, son. But I also love our country and the principles for which we stand. And if you decide to burn your draft card, then burn your birth certificate at the same time. From that moment on, I have no son.
I saw my champion red, a voluptuous tiger in satin garb and buttermilk laden, skin laid mastered upon her form, and I transformed. My animal too began to rise.
I'll be your taxi driver. the kid can taste my sin. I'll be your psychic, but you already know that I'm your faucet that won't stop the flow. Because I
ladies and gentlemen, this is Paul Evangel speaking to you from the Terminal of Life near the Gate of Death, where along with many others, we will shortly be boarding the Interworld Airlines flight FINAL for the New Jerusalem. This is the very first time that anyone in broadcasting has been given the authority to actually witness and describe the flight of a departed soul and relay the information so that you can hear, experience, and prepare yourself for this heavenly journey. The terminal is very crowded today, and we are told that this is not at all unusual, for eventually all people of all nations will pass through this point of separation.
Attention, please.
Let's listen to the dispatcher.
Interworld Airlines flight FINAL non-stop supersonic service to the New Jerusalem is now ready for boarding at the Gate of Death. Passengers holding confirmed reservations for this flight may proceed immediately to this gate through the blood-sprinkled concourse. Because the exact time of departure is uncertain, you are urged to remain ready at any moment. Thank you.
The crowd seems to be milling about, most everyone talking, some praying, some laughing, with only a few people acting as if they were paying any attention to the announcement. They are making ready to leave on this flight. Who are these that were listening to the dispatcher and responding? Well, with close observation, we notice that each one of them has a ticket in his hand. Sir, could I see your ticket for just a moment so that I can tell our audience about it? Thank you. It says, issued from Mount Calvary by the chief agent, the Holy Spirit. And it has been officially stamped with the blood of Jesus Christ. Here you are, sir. Thanks again. God bless you. I notice, too, that each of the ticket holders is carrying his own baggage. I'm told each one is furnished with the baggage of grace and godliness. No sad faces seem to be here to enter the Gate of Death. Everybody is beaming. One of the passengers seems to be singing. Let's walk along with the portable microphone and see if we can pick up just a little of his song of praise.
Let's, for old time's sake, let's switch on the old wireless and see what's happening around the world. And we switched on, we went to Radio Moscow World Service. And my friend says, this frequency is Radio Moscow World Service. And I'm listening in, and it's the top of the hour, and there's this music playing. And of course, I know how these things work at Radio Moscow when there's a lot of music at the top of the hour and no news bulletin. That means just hit the fan. That's what it turned out to be when Karina Milikian went on the air a couple of minutes after, past the top of the hour, saying that, you know, what has happened.
This is Radio Moscow. surface, and I'll give you a newsflash. Because of Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev's inability to act as Soviet president, USSR Vice President Gennady Yunaev has taken over presidential powers in the country.
After bidding farewell to loved ones...
You see what I see?
What's the matter? Didn't you guys ever see a pretty girl before?
Yeah, what about your rule, Billy?
Rule Schmool. This dame's got class.
That should only be fair. That should only be paid.
After bidding farewell to loved ones and friends, passengers show their tickets to the angel who waits at the gate of death. Getting a bit chilly on the ramp as the gate opens, but the warmth of peace and hope in the hearts of the passengers seems to produce great calmness as they enter the plane. Let's take just a moment and attempt to describe this unusual aircraft. It's a large, glowing, and resplendent airliner, and I must say, unlike anything we have ever seen before. Its beauty and splendor actually defy description. It's surrounded by a brightly shining heavenly light. Red letters symbolizing the blood of Christ read Inter-World Airlines. I'm entering the plane now, along with the passengers, and we are greeted by our stewardess. She seems to be checking something. Just a moment. The crowd is all around her. Oh, yes, she is rechecking their tickets. And I'm trying to figure out what she's going to do with the small two-edged sword she's carrying. She reaches out, and she has cut all earthly burdens from their backs. We should have known. After all, where these are going, earthly burdens can never come.
Welcome aboard Interworld Airlines flight FINAL, non-stop supersonic service to the New Jerusalem. Your captain is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am your chief stewardess, the Angel of Mercy. You will find your seatbelt in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Fasten your seatbelts, please.
for thee have made. Enoch and Elijah joined us in mid-flight without passing through the gate of death. We should be flying today at altitudes unlimited and at a speed never known to thee before. Flying time to the New Jerusalem is not considered, for thou art now in the realm known as eternity, where time is no more. As we left the earth, the weather was stormy with heavy overcast. But the report from the New Jerusalem is, as it always will be, a beautiful day without a cloud.
Look, over there!
Oh, see!
Directly in front of us now, there's a dazzling light. It must be brighter than the sun, and it certainly is stirring up some excitement here in the cabin of the plane. The passengers recognize it as their destination as we get closer.
Faithful service. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.
Steel tower in New Mexico melted to the ground so that they found nothing. Now I want you to get this. Peter said the elements shall melt with fervent heat. If you go to the library tomorrow and say to the librarian, I want to study the hydrogen bomb, she'd say, sir, follow me. Letter E, word elements. Did you know that in your libraries around America, the atom bomb is classified under elements? What'd you say, Peter? The elements shall melt. Brother, God gave Peter the exact word 1900 years ago. This is God's word, friend. Don't let anyone fool you.
I am thy captain. The flight thou art making today is the same which Abraham, Moses, John, Peter, Paul, and all of earth's redeemed before thee have made. Enoch.
This is Forrest McCullough. The idea for this recording was born in my heart on an airliner the day following my father's funeral. As I compared his recent journey to heaven to the flight I was making, this allegory resulted. It is my sincere desire, along with members of the cast and choir, that by listening you have been inspired to prepare yourself for the journey that you'll someday make into eternity. To make our final flight with Christ, we too must have a ticket issued from Mount Calvary and stamped officially with the blood of Jesus Christ. And let the majestic words of the poet express our final heartfelt desire. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng, we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Terrible job I turned that down because I thought I'm not going to take that on because there's too many snails up his nose.
He worked in the Jardin de Gourmand.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
He used to
flock
up his nose.
Well, there's a big flock of snails up his nose. I heard about that through, you know, Luella Parsons.
And of course, they used to knock up the nose as well.
Yeah, well, Flo's nose was well known in those days, wasn't it?
Of course, it was well known. My job was to retrieve those snails. They were buggers.
Oh, must have been diabolical for you.
It was.
Thank God I turned that down.
It was worse than Kurt, mind.
Well, Kurt is a very sensitive human individual.
Can't think. Oh, think.
No, I wouldn't say cunt, because let's face it, Kurt, you know, although small, has done a lot for the motion picture industry. He has appeared once or twice.
Yeah, right.
Which is very good, you know.
Right.
Let's not knock Kurt.
No, all right then.
Oh, let's knock him.
All right then, yeah.
Fucking cunt Kurt.
You cunt Kurt.
You cunt Kurt, you fucking midget. You don't know anything, do you, with your blue eyes? Just because you appeared in the Vikings, think you can go around swanning around the world, don't you? Well, you fucking can't, cunt. Fuck off.
You think we've knocked him enough yet?
No, I don't think so. He's a cunt, Kirk.
Actually, no.
But I'll tell you one thing Tony Newley said to me.
What was that?
Who are you?
Yeah, just like that.
Just like that. And I thought it made Tony Newley a wonderful human being.
I'll tell you, the other day, some bloke came up to me.
What, Tony Newley?
No. I don't know who it was. And he said, you come.
Yeah.
I said, what? He said, you come.
Yeah. And you replied, you fucking
I said,
cunt.
No, well, not straight away. I said, you come.
Yeah,
said,
yeah. And then what he did said, he come back with?
He come back. He said, you fucking cunt.
You, said, you joking. Call me a, he said, you fucking cunt.
He said, you call me a cunt, you fucking cunt. I said, you fucking cunt.
I should hope so. You fucking cunt.
I said, you fucking come here and call me a fucking cunt.
I should say
I
so.
I said, you cunt. I said, you fucking cunt. I said, who are you fucking calling cunt, cunt?
Yeah, what did he say, cunt?
He said, you fucking cunt.
Well, you fucking cunt. Who are you to say to him that he was a fucking cunt?
Oh, what do you fucking think, mate? I'm fucking defending my fucking self.
Well, no, he come up to you, call you cunt. That's fair enough. Or he said, you fucking cunt. And you said back to him, you fucking cunt.
Well,
what do you expect him to say back, apart from you fucking stupid fucking cunt?
Well, I don't expect nothing, do I? But
no.
The cunt come back with you fucking cunt.
Oh,
I said,
Christ.
You cunt. I said, you're calling me a fucking cunt, you fucking... I said, you fucking cunt.
Jesus Christ,
I said, you fucking cunt.
Yeah.
I said, like that.
Yeah, you said it like that to him.
Yeah.
Or was he gone by then?
No, he fucking hit me.
Hit you?
Yeah. Fucking cunt.
Killed you dead, did he?
No, he fucking hit me.
Yeah, well, you can't blame him, can you?
I said, you rotter.
Yeah.
And he went off.
Did he?
And he said, you cunt again.
Well, it's the only way to deal with him,
isn't it? Yeah, well, I showed him, didn't I?
Yeah, well, you had to, didn't you? You had to stand up for what you stood for, didn't you? I mean, the only time I remember a similar occasion was I was in, I was at Spurs, Tottenham Hotspurs.
Yeah.
I was watching a game against Arsenal. And this bloke come up to me and said, hello.
Oh, no.
And I thought, Christ.
Yeah.
You know, this bloke come up to me and says, hello.
Provocative fucker.
Fucking provocative.
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean, hello? And you know what he came back with?
Yeah.
He said, I just meant, hello. I said, I can suss you out for a start.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, get this in the bollocks for a start. So I kicked him right in the balls. He fell to the floor. As he fell to the floor, he said, ugh. I said, don't you look me, mate.
Like he comes in with hello and then goes out with ugh.
Yeah, I said, don't you look me, mate. And I kicked his fucking teeth in.
Yeah.
Then he went, ah. And I said, fucking hell.
I said, this is fucking too much.
Don't you fucking yuck me.
Yeah.
And I really kicked his ear in, you know.
Yeah.
Bunged him right in the ear with the left boot.
Yeah.
And you know, he still had the audacity to come out with, I'm dying. Well, what could I say to that? I just walked away. I left the situation. I wasn't going to be, you know, put upon in that
you
way.
You weren't going to be dictated to, were you?
Well, no, why should I be dictated
exactly.
to?
No.
By some cunt who says, look!
Yeah, proceeding with hello.
Yeah, hello was the worst thing. That's what got me going.
Yeah,
what
cunt.
What cunt, eh?
The noise. The pressures. The decisions. The noise. A man screams for quiet. A man wants sanity in the confusion. A man wants release from the pressures. They say Christ cares and wants to help. No money back guarantee you will be free of noise, confusion, pain, pressures, decisions. He just says, trust me, man. Trust me. I've been through it all. I understand. And I'll help you. And there's hope in that.
The preceding brought to you by your station in observance of the 450th anniversary of the Reformation.
To know and to act is one in the same. The studio, La Rue, formula for fame. Be a winner. Self-motivate. Read a fashion magazine. The more you sell, the more for you. Be a goal-achieving machine. To know and act is one in the same.
If you know what's right,
do it.
Do it.
Take control of your customer. Get them.
Let her feel your individuality.
Your good taste, unique.
There's no reason for her to shop department stores
and see the same old
shit.
We ain't McDonald's. Muse, we're special. Your customer's special. Enthuse.
Any piece can be done anyway.
Imagine. Once you're juiced and rolling, the next sale is so easy. Energy.
When you're fluid,
customers feel you've just been to the register.
And they want you to
winner. Lynn welcomes you to spray on some ode to success behind both ears
and anywhere else it makes you feel good.
Ooh. Coordinate the ensemble. Tie pieces together. Accessorize. Mesmerize. Physicalize. Accessorize. Mesmerize. Physicalize.
There are no limits.
And don't forget follow-up phone call. Hold up clientele. Make our total experience so special,
they'll come back for more.
More.
The more they spend,
the more they thank you.
You're welcome.
Let this be their fashion clinic.
Dig in. All for one. One for all.
The big money to sell is your given. Make the magic happen.
Do it.
I'm a winner. I know my goals. I am intelligently aggressive. I sell from my total knowledge of merchandise, using appropriate adjectives. I act with an always positive mindset. The more I sell, the more I'll have more. The more I sell, the more I'll have more. The more I sell, the more I'll have more. The more I sell, the more I'll have. The more I sell, the more I'll have.
Wait, bring up.
Certain standards are fucked and forbidden. Fuck up for future, foretelling fortune, non-fiction. For spilling, finally for showing. Thinking process, post-pittance, post-plenty, phantoms of fathom. Prescribing, punishing, ponder. Mental, then run asunder. Under bridges are burning, below the burning. Our footing, intensive, details are burning. Elapse of time for learning. These are repents into turning. The cycle revolves to racing, paging, and aging. Black Spain, erasing, evasions, that's a fun. Through triple stages, he rages, roughing the ranges. Encounter for closer speeches, he teaches. Two tests been put down like matches. Idle minds of the devil's workshop. And you know this. Not schooling self, though, then cool. Cool, it could save your own cool. Colliding planets, play melodies. These are the fortunate fellows inside the tree, shots are hollow. Hermits, spinning, parking bodies, sitting, ascension, imagine a people unified nation. The net which strengthened for longer and stronger duration of time, 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 to time, to time, to time, to time, to time.
Yeah, we've all been waiting for. Who's got my tambourine? All right, you guys, look alive.
Well, it's 3 a.m., about 10 past 3, actually. I like the scribbles is coming to an end here on COTR 101.9 FM. If you like the show, be sure to check out www.citr.ca for the podcast. Actually, you can check out any COTR show on the website. It's kind of cool. Or on iTunes if you're into that kind of thing. Listening to Blockhead in the background right now off Downtown Science. This is Stop Motion Traffic. This album I will be putting on when I get out of here shortly, so I'll just leave it playing. Before that, we heard Blackbird off Bird's Eye View, a track called Lesson. We had a couple other tracks off that album earlier. And little bits and pieces from the Beat Conductor India album, because my job is going to India. Anyways, oh, we also heard it. Let's see. Flight FINAL to the New Jerusalem. It's a little bit of a scaremongering for you guys out there. So you're going to die, and then you're going to have a ticket with Jesus' blood on it. And Jesus will be flying your plane to the New Jerusalem. And, oh yeah, they cut your bags off too. Very strange. I'm gonna fire on some lectures like I did the week before and the week before that, so you guys can get smart. Just go to sleep with it on. Wake up in the morning a genius, okay? A genius, guaranteed. If it doesn't happen, just give me a call here. I'll be here next week. Anyways, I'm out. My name is Chris. It has been fun.
Two lectures, we've been talking about individual patterns of inferences and warrants so that you can learn better how to construct various kinds of arguments and also to appraise and evaluate them. We've talked so far about warrants and inferences that are based on example, that relate parts to wholes, and warrants
careful
and inferences
matching
that
and balancing of the components
analogy,
made possible the thrilling reproduction of the low, low bass tones, the brilliance
now
of the treble tones, and the lifelike presence of the mid-range tones. Properly blended, the result is
and the sign and cause.
And the thing is
talking about
the
sign
that the hummers hum and the trappers clap. And the thing is they just say,
yeah.
Let the hummers hum and the trappers clap. And the singers, they should sing.
other. And we can say that what sign wants to do is that they establish that there is a predictable relationship between things. So that given one can predict the existence of the other, or given changes in one, we can predict changes in the existence of the other. Let's consider two examples right off the bat. You may remember that in lecture 13, I talked about teaching company customers to ask intelligent questions. And I gave you several examples. I said, this person, this person, this person, and this person ask intelligent questions. So teaching company customers generally to ask intelligent questions. Suppose I went further with that example and I said, teaching company customers generally ask intelligent questions. Therefore, they are probably intelligent people. What I'm saying then is that asking an intelligent question is a sign of being an intelligent person. I can't tell for sure if somebody's an intelligent person, but I can predict it if they ask an intelligent question. So one thing is a sign of the other. It's an indication that the other one is present. Now, here's a more extensive example. In the 2002 State of the Union address, President George W. Bush referred to the nations of Iraq, Iran, and North Korea as an axis of evil. And his particular concern was that those countries were in danger of developing nuclear weapons with the risk that they might share them with terrorists. Well, let's see what the reasoning is that would be underlying that example. It would be something like this. When more countries develop weapons of mass destruction, the balance of power is threatened. Now notice something carefully. Despite what we might think, this argument doesn't say that more countries developing weapons of mass destruction causes the balance of power to be threatened. It might or it might not. It might be that there's something else that leads to developing of the weapons and that also leads to destabilizing the balance of power. All we know is that given that more countries are developing weapons of mass destruction, we can predict that the balance of power is threatened. What's the form of this argument? Well, it's saying X is a sign of Y. That's the underlying warrant. One thing can be taken as the sign of another. Then X occurs or changes. Therefore, we can predict Y occurs. Or will
let me hear you say that. Come on.
The underlying warrant is that
you
something can
damage
be predicted
the record or the
from
style.
The occurrence of something else. So one thing is a sign of the other. Now this relationship, the sign relationship, is sometimes also called a correlation. It's simply a way of saying there's a predictable relationship between these two things. It doesn't account for it. It just says that it's there. We have no idea why. We don't know whether one causes the other or not, but given one, we can predict the existence of the other. That's the sign warrant. Now, what things are used as signs? Well, in theory, a sign can be anything that stands for something else. But let's talk about some commonly used signs. One is a statistical index. We think about something like the gross domestic product. We generally take the GDP, the gross domestic product, and changes in it as a sign of the health of the economy. So if we say the gross domestic product grew at an annual rate of 2.5%, we say that's a sign of a robust economy and economic health. On the other hand, if the GDP basically didn't grow at all, it grew by 0.2%, we say that's a sign of a stagnant economy. And if the gross domestic product declines 2 quarters in a row, that's a sign of a recession. So we're taking a statistical index as standing in for this abstraction called economic health. That, by the way, is why this inference pattern is warrant is called sign. One thing stands for something else. Sometimes we use physical observation as a kind of sign relationship.